All right, everybody, welcome back. Ready for another deep dive? This time we're tackling a verse you might think you know. Proverbs 22:6.
The one about training up a child.
Exactly. You know, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. But get this.
Oh, I'm sure there's some surprises in store.
There are. This deep dive is going to challenge what you think you know about this well-worn proverb.
I love it when we get to dig into the original languages and really unearth the context.
Me too. And for this one, we've got some amazing insights from a lecture by Dr. Ted Hildebrand.
A real Proverbs expert.
Oh yeah, he's a scholar who's dedicated years to studying the book of Proverbs. And he brings up some really surprising points about the original Hebrew and, you know, like the cultural context of this verse.
I bet. Like what kinds of things?
Well, we're about to uncover layers of meaning you won't find in your average Sunday school class. I mean, just to kick things off.
Okay, lay it on me.
One of the first things that Dr. Hildebrand points out is that Proverbs 22:6 is often taken as this kind of like parenting guarantee.
Yeah, I can see that.
Right, like if you do A, B, and C, your child is guaranteed to turn out a certain way.
Yeah, and you know what? It's important to remember that proverbs are proverbial, not promises etched in stone.
Okay, I like that. So you're saying proverbs aren't like divine fortune cookies that predict the future?
Exactly. Think of them more as like wisdom and guidance based on observation and experience.
That makes sense. So like ancient life hacks.
Yeah, kind of. But life, as we all know, is full of curveballs.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it.
So, you know, Dr. Hildebrand uses some modern examples to really drive this point home.
I love when he does that. What examples does he use?
Well, he cites Oliver Anthony's song, Rich Men North of Richmond, which you might have heard.
Oh, yeah. That's the one that went viral recently.
Exactly. It's all about working hard, but still struggling financially, you know?
Right. Feeling like the system is rigged against you.
And it's a sentiment a lot of people relate to.
No kidding. You've got a point. There are plenty of hardworking people who aren't wealthy. And let's be honest, some lazy folks who somehow end up with trust funds.
Exactly. Life just isn't always fair. And proverbs, well, they reflect general truths, but we can't expect them to play out perfectly in every single case.
Right. They're like observations about how life usually works, but not guarantees.
Yeah, good way to put it. In fact, Hildebrand even uses his own father as an example, a man who was incredibly diligent, but never, you know, struck it rich.
Wow, that's powerful. So life's just more complicated than a simple equation of like hard work equals wealth.
Way more complicated.
Okay, so that makes a lot of sense. But how does all of this apply to Proverbs 22:6 specifically? Are you saying like we shouldn't even bother trying to train up our kids?
Not at all. It's more about understanding the genre we're dealing with here, you know?
Genre. Like proverbs are nonfiction.
Well, yeah, but it's more than that. Proverbs are different from, say, historical accounts or legal codes in the Bible.
Oh, right, right. Different parts of the Bible have different purposes and styles.
Exactly. Each part of scripture has its own unique way of communicating truth. So, like, proverbs offer wisdom, not a set of ironclad rules.
Okay, that actually takes some pressure off. Proverbs are more like guiding principles than divine decrees.
I like that, guiding principles.
But I'm still curious about the specific wording of Proverbs 22:6. Let's break it down, shall we?
Absolutely.
So the first thing that jumps out at me is the phrase train up.
Yeah, what about it?
Well, what's the Hebrew word there?
It's hanak. And get this, it only appears 5 times in the entire Old Testament.
5 times? Wow. Okay, now I'm really paying attention.
And what's even more intriguing is that hanak is never used in the context of, like, traditional child rearing.
Huh. So we often picture a parent patiently instructing a child, but that's not the image this word evokes.
Not quite. It's a bit more, how do I put it? Think about, like, a grand opening or a ribbon cutting ceremony.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
That's closer to the essence of hanak. Hildebrand points out that it's used for dedicating a new house.
Like, welcome to our new home.
More like, this house is officially ready for its purpose. He even mentions this example where a man gets a draft deferment because he hasn't, quote unquote, inaugurated his home yet.
Wait, seriously, that's wild.
It is. So train up might be more about a formal acknowledgement or celebration than the day-to-day process of teaching a kid their ABCs.
That totally changes things. So it's not just about the process of raising kids, but also about a moment of transition or recognition.
You're getting it. Hanak even shows up when Solomon dedicates the first temple.
Oh, wow. Talk about a momentous occasion.
Huge. And get this, even Nebuchadnezzar's massive golden statue.
The one he forced everyone to bow down to.
That's the one. Even that is dedicated using this word.
Okay, that's pretty mind-blowing. You're telling me this tiny Hebrew word is used for dedicating a house, a temple, and a giant pagan statue. There's got to be a common thread here.
There is, and that common thread is transition. Hanek is not about the process of training so much as the result, like a shift in status and responsibility. It's less about molding and more about acknowledging someone's entry into a new phase of life.
So applying that to Proverbs 22.6, maybe it's not just about raising toddlers, but also about young adults stepping into the world.
You got it.
Wow, that changes things. But hold on, who exactly is this child we're talking about? Is it a 5-year-old or a 25-year-old?
Great question. That's where the next word comes in.
Hit me with it.
The Hebrew word nar, it's usually translated as child, but there's more to it than meets the eye.
I was wondering about that. So it's not always a little kid.
Not necessarily. Hildebrandt's research shows that nar can often refer to young people on the cusp of adulthood.
So not a little kid, but someone in that transition zone. Okay, now I'm really seeing how this verse might apply to a much wider range of people than I initially thought.
It does. And here are some examples. Think about Joseph.
The one with the amazing Technicolor dream coat.
That's him. He was still called Nar even when he was 17 and managing Potiphar's household. And even at 30 when he stood before Pharaoh.
Whoa. Those are some serious responsibilities for someone we usually think of as a child.
Right. And remember the spies sent into Jericho.
The ones Rahab hid.
Those were Nar too, not little kids sneaking around.
So we're talking about young people who are starting to take on adult roles, facing adult challenges.
Precisely. And if we look at how Nar is used specifically in Proverbs, it gets even more interesting.
Ooh, tell me more.
Okay, so we see it connected to, like, young people seeking wisdom and guidance. Servants in royal courts navigating complex social situations. Young men facing temptations.
So this isn't about teaching kids their colors. It's about guiding young adults through the complexities of life.
Now you're getting it.
Okay, so we got train up, which isn't really about training, but more about marking a transition in child, which isn't always a little kid, but often a young person entering adulthood. My mind is blown.
I know, right? It really flips the script on how we usually read this verse.
It does. But we still have in the way he should go to unpack.
Oh, yeah, that one's a doozy.
What's the hidden depth there?
Well, even the phrase in the way he should go has some surprises in store. First off,
I'm ready for them.
The word should isn't actually in the original Hebrew.
No, should. Okay, now I'm really intrigued. What's it like then?
It's more like in his way or according to his way.
Interesting. So less about what he should do and more about acknowledging his own path.
Exactly. And this is where things get really thought-provoking. Hildebrandt, along with other scholars, suggests that this verse could actually be a warning against overindulging a child.
Whoa, now that's a completely different spin on things.
Right.
I've always heard this verse used to emphasize parental control and guidance. Like, make sure your kid is on the right path.
Yeah, the classic interpretation.
But are you saying it might be the opposite? Like, a warning against being too controlling?
It's definitely a possibility worth considering.
Wow, this is blowing my mind.
I know, right? It really makes you think.
So how does that work? What does he mean by overindulging?
Well, think about modern parenting trends. Helicopter parents, you know? The pressure to never say no, the fear of damaging a child's self-esteem.
Oh, yeah. All those things are definitely out
there. So they all come from a good place, right? Wanting the best for our kids.
Of course.
But could Proverbs 22.6 be an ancient caution against raising self-absorbed kids?
That's a powerful point. I mean, we all know those kids who are never told no and, well, let's just say it doesn't always turn out well.
Exactly.
So maybe it's about finding that balance between guiding and giving freedom.
Exactly. It makes you wonder if there's like a golden mean here. Hildebrandt actually points to another proverb to illustrate this point.
Ooh, which one?
Proverbs 29.15. It says, "A child left to himself brings shame to his mother."
Hmm, interesting. So that one seems to emphasize the need for guidance and boundaries.
Right. So maybe these two verses are connected, you know, offering guidance on both ends of the spectrum.
It's definitely something to ponder.
It is.
My brain is already working overtime.
I bet. It's a lot to take in, right?
Definitely. But before our brains explode from all this new information.
Yeah, we need a breather.
How about we pause here?
Sounds good.
When we come back, we'll dive into Hildebrandt's proposed translation of Proverbs 22.6 and explore what it means for us today. Even if we're not parents.
I can't wait. This is getting good.
Me too. Stay tuned, everybody.
We'll be right back.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. I don't know about you, but my head is spinning after that deep dive into the original Hebrew of Proverbs 22.6.
It's a lot to take in.
It is. We've been totally rethinking train up child and in the way he should go.
And those are just the first few words.
I know, right? So now I'm dying to know, how does Dr. Hildebrandt actually translate this whole verse? Like, what's his take on it?
Okay, so he suggests this.
Drum roll, please.
Celebrate the starting out initiating of a young person on his way, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Whoa, okay, that is different. Instead of like a strict parenting manual, it sounds more like a call to, you know, empower young people as they kind of find their own path.
It really does flip the script, doesn't it?
It does. It's not about forcing a child into a mold, but recognizing and celebrating their individuality as they embark on their journey.
Exactly. Like, each young person has their own way, and our role is to support and encourage them as they adapt it.
I love that. But isn't that a bit contradictory to the idea of setting boundaries and providing guidance?
That's a great question. I think it's about finding that that delicate balance, you know?
Like, how much freedom versus how much structure?
Yeah, exactly. Celebrating someone's way doesn't mean giving them free rein to do whatever they please.
Right, like, go rob a bank, honey, follow your dreams.
Exactly. It's more about providing a supportive environment where they can explore their passions and make their own choices.
Even if those choices lead them down a less conventional path.
Even then, think about it. Like, when someone truly feels seen and celebrated for who they are, they're more likely to embrace their path with confidence and determination, you know?
That makes total sense. And this translation also brings in a sense of optimism, don't you think?
How so?
Like, if we can guide young people effectively during this, like, crucial transition into adulthood, they'll carry that wisdom with them throughout their lives.
I think so, too. It highlights the power of mentorship and, you know, the impact we can have on the next generation.
Powerful stuff. It really does.
Makes me think about those pivotal moments in my own life when someone, you know, believed in me.
Aw, that's sweet.
Even when I doubted myself. Like, those moments of encouragement, they really made all the difference.
You know, this makes me think about the rites of passage we have in our culture.
Oh, interesting. Like what?
Things like graduations, getting a driver's license, landing that first job.
Oh, I see, yeah.
They all mark a transition into adulthood.
They do, and they often involve a sense of, like, celebration and recognition from the community, which I think reinforces that feeling of, you know, stepping into a new phase of life.
It's like society's way of saying, hey, you've reached a milestone, you've achieved something significant.
Yeah, like a collective pat on the back.
And that acknowledgement can be so empowering for a young person who's, like, figuring out who they are and where they belong.
Absolutely. It can instill a sense of responsibility and purpose, which is so essential as they, you know, navigate all the challenges and opportunities that lie ahead.
For sure. But it also makes you wonder how our understanding of, like, the way has changed over time.
Oh, that's a good point. What was considered the way back in biblical times might be totally different from what we consider the way today.
Right. Back then, the way might have been more clearly defined, like, follow in your father's footsteps, learn a trade, get married, have a family.
Yeah, it was a more structured path, for sure.
But today, it's like the way is much more fluid and individualized.
Definitely. And there's so much more pressure now to, like, find your purpose or achieve some kind of, like, grand success, you know?
It's almost like the way has become more of a process of, like, discovery and exploration, which could be exciting, but also, like, super overwhelming for young people who are facing so many options.
And so much pressure, especially with, like, social media and everything.
It's easy to feel like you're, like, falling behind or not measuring up.
Yeah, totally. So this whole conversation really brings us back to the importance of support and guidance, don't you think?
It really does. We all need people in our lives who, like, encourage us to follow our own path.
Even when it's, you know, messy and uncertain.
Messy and uncertain. That's life in a nutshell.
Ain't that the truth? And it's not just limited to parents either. It could be mentors, teachers, friends, really anyone who, like, genuinely cares about a young person's well-being.
That's a good reminder. It takes a village, as they say.
It really does.
And, you know, it's not about imposing our own ideas of, like, the way on others.
Right, like, you should be a doctor or you should be an engineer.
It's about empowering them to define their own way and supporting them as they, you know, venture out into the world.
And who knows, maybe by embracing that approach, we might even learn a thing or two ourselves. After all, there's always something new to discover about the way, no matter our age or stage in life.
That's such a good point. I love that perspective. But before we get too philosophical here.
Yeah, we should probably wrap up this part.
We got to wrap up part two.
Time flies when you're having fun.
It really does. When we come back for the final part, we'll explore what this all means for you, the listener.
Even if you're not a parent, we'll discuss how the wisdom of Proverbs 22.6 can be applied to your own life and your interactions with the young people around you.
Stay tuned. And we are back for the final part of our deep dive into Proverbs 22.6.
It's been quite a journey, hasn't it?
It really has. From train up to child to in the way he should go, we've really been challenging some assumptions about this, like classic verse.
And you know, what's been really cool is discovering that this verse has something to offer all of us, regardless of whether, you know, we're raising children ourselves.
Exactly. So for our listeners who aren't parents, how can we apply this, like, ancient wisdom to our own modern lives? What does it even mean to celebrate the starting out of a young person when you're not the one who, you know, changed their diapers?
That's a great question. I think it starts with a shift in perspective.
Oh, tell me more.
Instead of viewing young people as like empty vessels just waiting to be filled with our knowledge and experience.
Right, like they're just blank slates.
Yeah, we need to recognize them as individuals with their own unique gifts and passions, you know?
It's about honoring their way, as Dr. Hildebrand puts it, even if that way looks different from what we might have envisioned for them.
Exactly, and that can be challenging, especially in a society that, like, often pressures young people to conform to certain expectations.
Oh, for sure. Like, go to college, get a good job, buy a house, blah, blah, blah.
Write that whole script. But I think it's crucial that we encourage them to embrace their individuality, to explore their interests and like find their own path, even if it's unconventional.
So it's less about giving advice and more about like creating space for young people to discover who they are and what they're passionate about.
Exactly. Sometimes the most powerful thing they can do is simply listen without judgment.
Just be a sounding board.
Yeah. Offer encouragement and provide support as they, you know, navigate the ups and downs of their journey.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, this is making me think about the young people in my own life, like my nieces, nephews, the kids of my friends, even, you know, the interns at work.
I hear you.
And I'm realizing that I often approach them with a mindset of, like, what do they need to learn from me instead of what can I learn from them?
That's a great insight, and I think it's a trap a lot of us fall into.
It's easy to assume that because we're older, we have it all figured out.
Yeah, we think we have all the answers. But you know what? Young people bring fresh perspectives, new ideas, and a different way of seeing the world, you know?
So instead of trying to mold them into mini versions of ourselves,
like, you should be just like me.
We should be celebrating their, like, unique strengths and encouraging them to challenge the status quo.
Yes. The world needs their creativity, their energy, and their willingness to think outside the box. And it's our responsibility to nurture those qualities, not stifle them.
This makes me think about all the, like, incredible young activists, artists, entrepreneurs, and change makers who are, you know, making a difference in the world right now.
They're out there doing their thing.
They're not waiting for permission to make their mark. And they're certainly not following, like, a predetermined path.
They're proof that the way isn't a one-size-fits-all formula. It's a constantly evolving journey of discovery and growth.
Beautiful said. So to bring it all home for our listeners, even if you're not a parent, how can you celebrate the starting out of the young people in your life?
Well, I think it's about finding those small but meaningful ways to show your support.
What kind of ways?
It could be as simple as having a conversation, you know, offering a word of encouragement or sharing your own experiences, both the successes and the failures.
Well, that's good. Showing them that it's okay to make mistakes.
Exactly. It's all part of the journey. You could also, like, connect them with opportunities, introduce them to mentors, or simply create a space where they feel, you know, safe to express themselves without judgment.
It's about being that person they can count on.
Exactly. And you know what? Every interaction, no matter how small, can have a ripple effect.
Like the butterfly effect.
Yeah, kind of. And by embracing the spirit of Proverbs 22.6, we can all play a role in empowering the next generation to, you know, find their way and make their mark on the world.
This deep dive has been a real eye-opener for me, and I hope it's given our listeners some, you know, serious food for thought.
Me too. It's been a pleasure diving into this with you.
Likewise. And remember, everyone, Proverbs 22.6, it's not just a dusty old verse.
It's a living, breathing message.
It's a timeless call to action to support and celebrate the young people around us.
And to remember that the journey of discovery never ends, no matter our age. So keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep celebrating starting out in your own life and in the lives of those around you.
That's a perfect note to end on. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. And until next time, keep those brains curious.